Podcasts, where we're joined today by myself, DJD, and guest star Produce Farmer.
Hey, I'm back.
A rare appearance, but appreciated for sure. And we are unfortunately absent Johnny Bailey this week.
The budget couldn't hold it over for all three of us.
Yeah. We can only afford two mics at a time, okay? Like, the electric bill just shoots way too far up, you know? So.
Yep. I mean, that's how it goes, you know?
And, of course, in the back, mixing the beats. Or, I guess, just the mixer. Craig.
Yeah, all those beats. Boom, 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 boom.
So, Farmer, it's been a little bit. How are you, buddy? How's it going?
Good. Just crazy, man. Been busy. It's only getting worse, but it was nice to kind of like swap days for me. I just know Saturday nights are just like getting, usually that by the end of the week, that's the day I'm like collapse and I need to just go to bed or something soon, you know, like early and start the week over. But so Saturday's been a little bit tough with everything going on, but it's been good getting things done around here. But we had a bunch of trees we had to chop down, and we didn't chop them down, we used the chainsaw. But you know, it sounds cool when you say chop. So we had
sawing is kind of like chopping though, kind of, right? A little,
yeah,
bit like,
I mean yes and no. I mean, you get somewhat of the same results, but you're not going through the same motion, you know, because you're holding a machine, a chainsaw to like do all the cutting for you. When you're using an axe, it's going to take a lot longer, you know, let's just say that. It's just going to take a lot more longer, and it's going to take a lot more effort, and you're going to be a lot more sore. But that being said, doing a chainsaw all day will still keep you very sore because, you know, it's motion all the time, and it's not a light piece of hardware either. So anyways, about 2 weeks ago, my dad came over and we did that. So we were chopping wood and that sort of thing. And by the time we got, like, he kind of got, one thing you'll have to know when somebody's chainsawing, once they get in the groove, you got to be worried a little bit, because they'll start cutting everything down if you're not careful, because they just like, oh yeah, I'll cut that. And I just found out just a couple days ago that he cut down a couple things I wasn't wanting to get cut down, but I didn't know. So just keep that in mind, everybody.
With chainsaws at home, yeah, just be aware of that.
Anybody who's hired somebody with a chainsaw, yeah. You have to make sure you put ribbons around the ones you don't want to get cut. That's all I'm saying. You know, you got to plan for this stuff. But so the last couple weekends, we've been kind of working through getting all the brush, because I mean, we fell like four or five trees, and then all the limbs off of those trees. So we've been doing that. So that's been keeping me pretty busy. How about you? It's been a bit.
Yeah, it has been a bit. I don't know. Like, the world's in a pretty crazy place right now. So I mean, like, yeah. You know, that's been occupying a lot of my attention.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. The chainsaw thing reminds me of, like, my parents actually had a couple trees chainsawed recently, and they definitely had more trees cut down than they planned on.
Yes. See, that's what I'm telling you.
A thing. Yeah. But also, I'm always reminded whenever someone brings up a chainsaw of Resident Evil 7, where, spoilers for that really old game, when did that game come out?
7? That's like eight years ago?
Was it that long ago? It might
maybe not that long, but it feels like that long.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money, actually. January 2017.
Man,
wow. That's wild.
I'm so good. That's boom. That's I'm really gone, but I'm guess. Not really gone, am I?
Which what episode do you think this is of the Anavsphere podcast?
Oh. Of the Anavsphere podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so this is probably 74 or something like that.
I mean, you're kind of close, I guess.
I guess. Where are we
at? Yeah. This is like episode 56 or whatever, or something like that. Like, oh. It's like, yeah.
You're kind of close. I guess I was overcompensating for the fact. I thought we'd be higher. But I guess we did have a couple weeks we skipped, so.
Right. And that also brings up the elephant sitting with us in the room, the Republican elephant, because that's what elephants are best known as, the symbol of the Republican Party. RIP. Is that we're recording on a new day. We're recording on a Monday right now instead of our normal Saturday. And hoping
we're shaking things new. New
I'm hoping
for the year,
that
right?
Johnny can still like master this and like produce it in a way that we can still get it out on Friday, but we'll see.
Yeah. If not, maybe that's something we can try to figure out. Who knows? But I mean, Johnny's been doing a good job, so why deviate from something that's been going so well, right?
Well, and I like the consistency of it. I'm a big fan of even if there's something that like someone else might have like a better, like not even a better, but like a different way of doing or whatever. Like, I think that kind of interrupts like the consistency of things.
Right. So like, for sure, if one of us took it, it would definitely be different because we're just different no matter how we
and
try.
Worse. It would be worse. Undeniably so. But I mean, like, you know, like even if we had like T-Pain mastering a podcast, right? Like, I mean, like it would be different, you know,
we'd have to have his own little artistic stamp on it because we know how these artists are.
We'd all have auto-tune and everything. I'm just kidding.
T-Pain, don't. Okay. Now, I'm just saying right now, this would be pretty cool. I'm actually getting down with this. Maybe have like a little backbeat, you know, going on too. But I mean, if we're going to dream, might as well dream big at this point.
But also, we missed last week. We missed last week because nobody was here except for me and Craig. And Craig didn't want to talk. And honestly, I wasn't really in the mood for talking either. Because... Oh, back to chainsaws. Resident Evil 7.
Flashback!
This kind of works. I can make this work. I can make this work, okay? We're going to go back. Hang on. Because... I didn't really feel like talking because Monolith Studio got shut down last week, and that was really sad for me.
Ah, oh, man, I know. I just saw the effect of the whoosh, you know, like we need to add that in there right there when we flip back to you. But yeah, man, that is just, I can't believe it, honestly. Like,
yeah, Monolith Productions, like they made they're most famous for like the Mordor games, the Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor and the Middle Earth Shadow of War, which are the best Lord of the Ring games to come out in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
They also did Gotham City Imposters.
Such an underrated game that was so much fun, honestly. And my favorite that they did, honestly, like I like all those games, but like the most iconic back in the 360 days, you know which one I'm going to talk about, right? You know which one I'm bringing up. The Guardians of Middle Earth.
Yes,
wasn't that done by them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Same year as Gotham City Imposters, actually, somehow.
Somehow
they cranked out like, both those titles in the same year.
That's crazy.
Like Guardians of Middle Earth, a MOBA that was just like 5 years too early to really capitalize on the MOBA phase.
I feel like both those games were just a little bit too early. And we talked about, I think on the podcast, about like we were hoping that they'd come back, especially the Gotham City Imposters. I was like, you know, I remember talking something like that. But of course, Guardians of Middle Earth. Phenomenal.
Well, I
love
that. I'm not sure if you know this. I'm pretty sure you do. So I 100% in Shadow of Mordor. That's like my one of my, that is.
Yeah, that's your claim to fame.
That's my, honestly, the one that I'm proudest of 100%ing because there's a lot of luck involved and there's a lot of time that was involved in 100%ing that game. But I was so close that I just had to. And I never 100% games, but like I had to, right? And like I loved that game so much. And so, like, I put in the time, I put in the effort, I 100%ed it. And then I tweeted at Monolith when Shadow of War came out, hey, I will 100% this game, which, looking at the achievements, it seemed even harder. I will 100% this game if you bring Guardians of Middle-earth to back compat, at least. If not, like, a remaster or something. And the cowards, they didn't do it. So now they're shut down, which sucks, but I didn't like it.
Just think, if they brought that back, they might not have. You know.
But also, the latest game they were working on was, well, let's go through their catalog here for a second. They went through, like, they've been around since, like, 97, so a long time, right? They actually did Fear, like the original Fear game.
The original Fear game. Wow. Yeah. I did
and,
it, know
and
that.
Its sequel. Yeah, I didn't know that either. And then they did, like, Tron 2.0.
Wow, man, all these good games here.
Yeah, they did, like, an old Alien versus Predator 2 game back in, like, 2001 or so. Like, I mean, they don't have, like, a lengthy catalog, but they have, like, some pretty good hits. I would say, like, half their games were, like, really good games that I played, and then the other half I just never played, so I don't know how good they were. But right. Yeah. Well, they some of the those Matrix just Online, might not be our which styles. I always wanted right. to play but never got around to, you know? I mean, like, yeah. But the latest game they were working on was Wonder Woman. And that was allegedly going to use their patented Nemesis system, which they use in Shadow of Mordor, where essentially enemies recognize you and there's a hierarchy to the enemies that you face and everything. And, like, they recall details about your past interactions with them. And it's a really cool system that I had no clue how that would be used in Wonder Woman, but I was excited to see. And now we'll right. never know, you know?
Exactly. I mean, like, well, and, like, and the whole Nemesis system is a groundbreaking system that we've talked about hoping to, you know, see it used in more places, which, I mean, there are ways that it could be used. And I've heard talk, maybe they would bring it, which is kind of weird. I've heard talks that it could be brought into the Arkham games potentially, you know, because they're starting to work on new stuff. And that is something that they could use, but it's interesting because Arkham started the whole combat system, the flawless, you know, the free flow system. And then, you know, Monolith kind of, you know, went off of that for Shadow of Mordor, right? And then it's interesting that, okay, now Monolith actually, they had their own thing, you know, and it would be really interesting to see that Arkham would actually take something that they left behind. You know, it's almost like full circle, like, we're going to help you, you can help us. But I mean, I'd be interested. I'm also, like, really excited for the next Arkham game, you know, in general, if it's what I think it's going to be, which I've heard rumors and I really hope it is.
I mean, what have you heard, like, the Batman Beyond rumors or?
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. It's the Batman Beyond rumors. And
yeah, I would
drop every other game to play that game, you know?
Yeah. So, Jason Schreier was on a podcast recently, talking about, like, how
on
Warner
our
Brothers,
podcast?
No, not on ours.
Man, we need,
but, like,
we
on
need
the
guest podcast.
Stars, we
right?
do actually. Yeah, that'd be great. I'll hit up my Rolex, my Rolodex. There we go.
Rolex. Woo. Okay. Rolling the money.
Rolling. Yeah. No. I prefer Apple Watch anyway. It's fine. I don't need a Rolex. I'll hit up my Rolodex, see if I can't get some people on here for certain topics. But, yeah, so Jason Schreier was talking about how, like, Warner Brothers, like, they're essentially the big thing behind Warner Brothers, like, recent, like, implosion, so to speak, because they shut down three studios and they're doing a bunch of restructuring of their games division is not necessarily related to, like, the larger Warner Brothers, like, issues. Because it's all stuff that had been going on before, where, like, essentially their leadership was just afraid to commit to anything because, like, they weren't sure if the risk was worth it.
Right.
And so, like, there would be all these decisions that needed to be made and then leadership wouldn't make them. Right. And so, like, apparently the guy who was in charge, he's on his way out. There's a new guy coming in. New guy seems cool. Like, hopefully Warner Brothers Games can get their act together. I think it'll be like half a decade before they actually like, before we see whether they're able to or not. Because I think this is a huge hit. Between this, the failure of Suicide Squad, you know, the failure of like, you know, just overall, like Warner Brothers Games just not being able to put out anything that sticks really well besides Hogwarts Legacy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like there was that Quidditch game, which like, you know, hasn't really taken off or anything, you know?
Yeah,
there were a bunch of like multiplayer games that kind of like just never happened, you know, got canceled or whatever.
And, like, and to go off to like that Quidditch game, it's just it's almost, I would say, a very indie-like title. I don't know why. Which is fine.
I think it's fine for studios to have those, right? Like, EA has, like, what's that game that just came out? Split Fiction, right? By the makers of Take-Two? Or not Take-Two. It Takes Two.
Yeah.
The, like, you know, the co-op game that's, like, got the screen split in half and everything. Like, Split and Fiction, what was the other... I was just
going to bring that up. And I,
yeah, what was the other like game really that game. They did? The crime game.
I don't know. I've only played It Takes Two from that studio, I believe.
No, we've definitely played the other one.
Maybe I'd know it if I saw it, maybe kind of thing. what let me look at it. Look it up here.
Hang on. A Way Out. There we go.
Oh, yeah, I played that just was that them?
That was them, yeah. That was the same studio. But, like, EA has, like, this one studio. Granted, they had more, and those studios have all been, like, dissolved, you know? But, like, I don't know that they've all been dissolved, but we haven't seen a lot of, like, the EA original games, right? Like, this is one of the few studios still making those EA originals. And then you have Ubisoft originals with the Prince of Persia game. That came out, The Lost Crown, which then they killed that team. I think it's actually good for these bigger studios to, like, have these smaller games, because then you still, like, have, like, these smaller games with smaller teams that are coming out in between, like, these bigger games, like these tentpoles. And I think it actually builds a lot of goodwill for those studios and for the overall publisher, right? Like, I think this is a great thing for EA. I think, like, Ubisoft, like, original games are a great thing for Ubisoft, but apparently these studios don't see it that way because they don't, like, you know, bring in, like, massive sales sometimes.
Yeah, and
although Split Fiction is doing really good, so I mean, like...
Yeah, they are, but that's the problem with having that mindset. They don't realize how much they're, like, even though they're not bringing in maybe always the green, you know, or you know, the black on the chart, or so to speak, they're doing something for the ecosystem and doing something for their brand, you know? And that's right. A lot outside of always making bank, well, you know?
And they're bringing in good games made by small studios that have a very specific vision for their games that players enjoy, you know? Like, I think that's the biggest thing.
And they're authentic because these studios believe in what they're doing. And that goes a lot further than just trying to, you know, hit the market all the time, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's, it's a little bit disappointing that, like, you know, things aren't necessarily working out that way. It seems like WB Games is planning to focus on, their core franchises, essentially. So, like, Batman, Harry Potter, and I think, like, two other things, right? And that's where all their money is going to go, is just on those licensed properties that they own or whatever. They sold off Lord of the Rings. So, like, they don't have that anymore.
Well, that could be a good thing, actually, instead of it, you know, just being, you know, pigeon-toed into one developer for it.
Like,
you know,
maybe, studio. But, like, so...
And we might actually avoid a Gollum, right? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, so... Lord of the Rings was sold to what? Embracer, I think?
Embracer Group, yeah.
And then they split into three entities, and one of those was called Lord of the Rings and Friends or something like Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, right? But I don't necessarily know, like, with Embracer doing as badly as they were in terms of debt, because I think they hugely, like, overextended. And sorry, this is a very video game heavy, like news, like, podcast here.
Yeah, well, but, that's our specialty.
But, like, with Embracer Group, like, essentially, like, overextending and then having to, like, restructure majorly and, like, cancel a bunch of stuff, I don't necessarily know that Lord of the Rings, like, is in the best place. I know Amazon is still working on that Lord of the Rings MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess they have it licensed out or something. And I'm curious to see what they do with that, because their last two MMOs haven't been the best received. Like, I think they were fun enough or whatever. Actually, have you played New World?
I have not. No.
So I played New World on Xbox during like a free play like weekend or whatever. And like, I actually found out that I actually really enjoy MMOs with controller, which I knew this a little bit because played Neverwinter back in the day, you know? And like, I played a little bit of like, oh gosh, I'm blanking. Black Desert. There we go. But like, so I think if WoW came to console, which is the hope and a rumor, like that I would actually really, really get into that a lot more than I do.
I wouldn't see a reason why it wouldn't at this point, especially if there is this handheld device coming. You know, I think that would just make sense at this point, right?
Right.
To bring it all and connect everybody. And,
but like, you know what? I mean, so like, Amazon can make fun MMOs. They just don't seem to have much staying power. And they seem to be like kind of, I don't know. Well, it feels weird to say this, but like, they're kind of generic, and like, MMOs are just such a hard thing to like stay alive, because like, they require so much like effort and content in like a crowded market. Like, I just don't necessarily know. Like, WoW would do fine, obviously, because WoW has like that built up base that it can survive pretty much anything at this point. Mm-hmm. But like, man, remember like all the MMOs I used to get you to play with me like way back in the day, like 10, 12, 15 years ago, you know? I mean, like, and almost none of those are around anymore. Like, it's like.
Right. Yeah.
The landscape has changed a lot.
It's definitely changed, and it's continued to change, as you know, as it always does, really. But you know, it's interesting where we're at right now. I mean, they just also, to kind of keep it on the heavy side, Respawn just canceled
projects. Yes,
and I'm not too happy about that either. I was really looking to see something into the vein of, you know, Apex or Titanfall, or, and that's what it was rumored to be, something like that. And you know, Respawn just does a really good job with a fast-paced setting game, and I was ready to sink my teeth into that game, and it's just kind of disheartening. So I don't know. It was just, I don't know. I don't want to say fortunate, but I was fortunately the whole thing. Respawn isn't all going that way, but
right,
the fact that this small studio that was working on something kind of secret project-esque is going away, and that's kind of like, oh, come on.
Well, like, I know that they had that Star Wars project a while ago, and the rumor that I saw, and I don't know how much I trust the source, but, like, you know, like, because people online can kind of just make things up sometimes, or all the time.
Yeah, but, yeah, you have to be careful.
Like, always, always, always check your sources, no matter what it is. The rumor I saw was that this was essentially the... So Respawn was working on a Star Wars first-person shooter a while ago, and that got canceled. And then this secret project, from what I understand, from what I heard, from what I saw online, that was all rumors, nothing confirmed, I don't have a second source for it, was that essentially they were trying to rework those assets, or like some part of that they were trying to salvage as like a an original IP or something else. So like so this secret project could have just been like that Star Wars thing on life support as they try to figure out another way to make it work after the Star Wars project fell through. In which case, this could just be like a drawing out of a cancellation that happened a while ago, you know, which would be the probably the best possible like thing to like happen, I guess, in terms of that, because I'd hate to think that it was like Titanfall 3 that was canceled or
right,
something.
Right.
But either way, you know, there's like a desire for Titanfall 3. And like, my hope would be that they wouldn't give up on that so easily.
I don't think they would. I do think it was probably more like a maybe not a AAA title like project. Maybe it was something to fill in the gaps or something while they wait on for something else. And it just, like you said, fell through. But I mean, still the fact that it could be Star Wars or Titanfall universe still kind of like pulls at me a little bit.
Oh, it still hurts for sure. Yeah. Like a Star Wars FPS by Respawn, please, come on. I would play that. I would love that. Like it could be like a 6 out of 10 game and I would still enjoy the heck out of it. Like, my gosh, something like about Respawn that, didn't
fast
do it.
Play, yeah, the fast paced gameplay. Yeah, I mean it would just be it couldn't be that low, honestly. I mean they're just too well polished the way that they do those things. It would just be such a fast-paced Star Wars game that we've never experienced. It would be great. It would be great for like a bounty hunter game, honestly, you know, because that's what you need, you know, something like that. That's, you know, you're not doing the whole Jedi Star Wars kind of thing because, I mean, they've already done that with Fallen Order. So they switched gears and we're going FPS, you know, we're going in and we're going in hard and we're going in like into places that you've never seen, you know, and that's what you hope for a new game like that, right?
Remake Battlefront 2's campaign, but do it in an interesting way where you're actually an Imperial the whole way through. That'd be crazy.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
Interacting with all these, you know, these facets of the universe that we just barely get a glimpse of. That's what I want to see, you know, when any of these, especially like Respawn, if somebody like that gets into it, you know, you can expect something, you know, awesome, something breathtaking, something different, something that, you know, especially from a Star Wars standpoint, that we're always looking to experience different angles because we're always getting the Star Wars Jedi thing. And I love it. Don't get me wrong, but there's so much more to the universe than that. We've talked about this plenty. But that's kind of like this whole Skywalker saga thing, you know, or any of the Jedi thing. I mean, it is prevalent. It's relevant. It's awesome. But there's so much more.
But I mean, like, also, like, that's what we loved about, like, the Old Republic, right? Was that, like, they did find a way, I feel
very true.
To balance out, like, the other classes that, like, a Jedi wasn't necessarily the class that you wanted to play, right? Like, I feel like being a commando or being smugglers, like, or whatever, like, you know, like there were a lot of different classes that weren't force focused that were just as interesting and just as cool. And I feel like they balanced that out pretty well.
Well, and there's been several games like Republic Commando, like you didn't even have to have, there was nothing like that. It was just all soldier based, you know?
Right.
And, also the Kyle Katarn games, like there's a little bit of Jedi, but it's also a lot of smuggler stuff, you know, a lot of blastering, and it's just a different element. And that's awesome. You know, getting something a little bit different, a little different flavor of the same thing that you love, you know, and I'd love to see actually one of those games like a Jedi Outcast. I mean, I know they just did their remaster, but it really needs like a remake. I would love to see those games on a remake, you know, something like that. The Kyle Katarn series or something like that. Or it doesn't even have, they could, you know, they could move on from him, but something like that, you know, bounty hunter esque.
Sure. Yeah. Or even like Star Wars Bounty Hunter remade. Just got chills. Like remake. That 1313 project or whatever.
Like, yes. I mean, something, but like, yeah. Something like that, you know?
One of the things like that, like, I thought was kind of interesting, kind of going back, because like I bringing up Galaxies while bringing up Lord of the Rings. No, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. Bringing up the Old Republic. That's what I meant to say. Bringing up the Old Republic reminded me of Galaxies. Did you see this spiritual sequel that's just got kickstarted, called Stars Reach.
I have not. Stars Reach. I'm going to look at it up right now.
So Stars Reach had a 200,000 Kickstarter goal. It must be nice to like be able to like have an idea that people like want to fund so well that like, you know, hey, yeah, no problem. We'll raise 200K. Or like in Star Citizen's world, like multiple millions. But, you know, I mean, like.
Star Citizen, man, that's a conundrum of a conundrum. A game that like,
it's an really... alpha 4.0 now or something like that. So, I mean, like, hey, maybe it'll come out sometime.
Yeah. Time. I mean, see. You can buy into it at any time, buddy.
But yeah, so Stars Reach was essentially, it was being funded by investors, but then they announced a Kickstarter campaign and they got the additional funding that they wanted from that very quickly. But essentially, it's a spiritual sequel to Ultima Online and the Star Wars Galaxy from someone who worked on both of those. And essentially, his whole idea is... what he wanted to do was bring back the whole idea that combat doesn't need to be the focus of an MMO, that you can do anything in the world. And so, like, the trailer seems kind of interesting, where, like, he's showcasing, like, house building or whatever, and, like, people getting together to, like, figure out how to get to various new places and stuff. Like, one of the things that he mentioned was, like, there was once a, like, there was a sea of lava, and they figured out how to freeze it. So, like, the player base in and of themselves, like, kind of banded together to freeze the lava to cross it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is all, like, cool. Alpha testers or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, essentially, yeah, like, it's about, like, you know, crafting being just as important as combat or whatever. Or, like, you know, like, you can be a bard, I'm assuming. Or, like, you know, just play music or whatever. Or be a trader. Or be, like, you know, a farmer. Or, you know, like, essentially, you can do whatever you want in the world. Which... like, that was the big controversial thing that might have potentially killed Galaxies, was, like, when they switched to, like, being very, very combat-focused, right? And if Johnny was here, he could, like, add more input on that. But, like, because he lived through that. But, like, I remember being upset about that. Like Galaxy switching to, like, essentially a combat-focused, like, kind of, like, vision. And... that being the breaking point for a lot of people of like, hey, you just kind of took what this game is and kind of like ruined it a little bit.
Yeah. We never had that game. And so I never really got into Galaxies but I always wanted to. I remember thinking, oh wow, this is really cool. It's online. But at the time, you know, we probably didn't have a computer to run it anyhow, but you know, the whole online thing was so new around that time. It's just like,
right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, you always hear the bad stories about these people online. So, you know, at that time, you know, it was like, you can't get online. It was dial up anyways, you know? So, you know, it just didn't happen. But I remember being at the store, looking at that game, thinking, this is a Star Wars game. And you can do it with so many people. This is amazing. And just thinking, man, this would be awesome to experience.
Well, like one of my favorite things about like Red Dead on is the ability to just kind of do whatever you want in that world and just live in it. Right. Like I love that immersiveness. And I think it'd be really cool to see MMOs kind of, or at least an MMO, you know, kind of like fill that gap. I know Black Desert Online does it a little bit, but like, I mean, like, it'd be cool to see other games like also kind of like give you an opportunity to kind of just become immersed in a world where it's not all about like killing, you know?
Yeah, it's just exactly. You know, well, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. Most games are geared around violence, and yeah. It is a breath of fresh air when you have something.
Guess, you know, I mean, like, to
well,
put it like
I the, mean, yeah. It's violence. Let's say what you will. Most games have that function. And I think that's the most, you know, people gravitate towards that, which I get it. You know, I've been a Halo fan for forever and that's mostly what that game is, but it is nice to have a game, you know, where you just, do something else, you know, like I love puzzlers. I love exploration games for that reason. I mean, crafting games like, I mean, Minecraft, sure, there's a combat aspect of it, but most of it is just about building and exploring. And there's just something special about, you know, doing that with your friends and or even by yourself, but just like finding new things. And if, you know, I think there's a lot more of that aspect, like you said, that needs to come back, and we need to not forget about that, you know,
right,
on these games going forward. Because yeah, it's so easy to be like, okay, we're just gonna create these things, we're gonna shoot, you know, because that's just the general rule of thumb. Is like, okay, we need a game, okay, we need things in the game to the fight. And that's, again, while that works really good for some games, I think we need to branch out a little bit for sure. There's that's the fun game, the fun things of, in general, like with some of the Nintendo games, where it's like, well, there is action, there's an exploration, but it's not necessarily, you know, gritty violence or anything like that. Like, you could even say like, well, they, you know, they just capture them or something like that. And that's what something that makes those games a little bit special as well. Is it's just like, there's just so much, I don't know, character to it, I guess. It just, they just add a little extra element to it. I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent on this, but it's just nice to see them take it on a different level, you know, take it, yep, a different step, a different angle, you know, kind of like almost
it's like a new tree
talking about
being sprouted, yeah, up, you know,
yeah,
like, I mean, a new tree being planted that's like a little bit different than others. And it's nice to see, like, at
and
least
there's nothing wrong with a different tree, you know, it's nice to have the other trees, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I hope it grows well, and I hope that it's enjoyed by lots of people. But like, we'll see, you know, like, I mean, like, I'm always skeptical of these things until they actually like are implemented, you know, and executed, just because like there's so many things that like, we get so like hyped up in our own expectations of what something will be, and then like, you know, we get so disappointed sometimes when it's not exactly what we envisioned, right?
But right, we all cool. have these, you know, these preconceptions of these things that it's got to be this way, and then when it's not, we just like, you know what, I'm not even going to try it now, you know. And
but it is still cool too to see like it being attempted, right? Like something different, because I feel like so much of like what video games are right now is like, because the landscape is so shaky, because studios like way overextended or whatever, and like are getting shut down now as a result of that, right? Because like when everyone was staying indoors and got those stimulus checks and like were like investing it all in like entertainment, like, and now don't have that additional funds, you know, and like, so games aren't making as much, you know, because people actually have lives again and stuff, you know, and need to actually like spend money that they work for.
Like, yeah. And I've talked to a guy who was had to go out. You know, so let's say at COVID, you know, everybody was working remote, but now 5 years later, a lot of these people are being called back. So that means extra gas, extra wear and tear on your vehicle, and not being home to be remote, so they have those, you know, those breaks to do these things. I mean, if you drive, that's like an hour. I mean, it can be an hour both ways, you know? So that cuts a lot into your time.
When like the Domino CEO, I think, recently came out saying like, hey, like people just aren't ordering pizza like delivery anymore. Like they just aren't as much, which I still see a lot of Uber Eats and DoorDashing going on. So I mean, like, I don't think we're like in really bad straits until like that slows down significantly. But also, like, I mean, with the way that prices are rising right now, like the way the economy is looking, with the like way that things are going with these tariffs and stuff, like, I mean, like, who knows, you know? I mean, like, I would be financially like unsure, if nothing else, uncertain, you know, like there would be a lot of fiscal uncertainty for me. When it comes down to it. And so, like, I mean, like, especially if I was a video game company, I would be very nervous about, like, doing something new, you know? Like, I mean, something unproven, especially when we've seen, like, so many things recently come out that have failed, right? Like, oh gosh, what's that? That magic game that I just played, Immortals.
Yeah,
something.
It was like a still game that I haven't played, but I got finally
you
because
it's
on so many cells.
Absolutely should.
But yeah, Immortals, it. And yeah. Then the other one we've been playing as a co-op also was really
Immortals
good.
Of Avium. There we go. Yeah,
Immortals of Avian, and yeah. The one that we've been playing. What's the name of that one? Like again, an older title game, but it has co-op. You know, the one in the sand. I can't remember. I can never remember that name.
I can never remember either, and I don't know if that's as like in terms of that. Maybe, like, I kind of worry, like maybe
workshopping it. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. You can't be that.
But like seeing all these games, and you can look it up and like bring it up when you find it. Like seeing all these games come out that fail that are like new things that could have been entire franchises if they were willing to be supported. You know, like Anthem on. You know, I mean, like, it's really kind of like, I understand why certain developers and certain publishers are like tripling down on sequels and like axing everything else when it doesn't do as well as they had hoped. You know, I understand that. I don't like it. I hate it, but I understand it. You know,
Atlas Fallen.
There we go. Atlas Fallen.
And yeah, but yeah. Like, so yeah, I mean, we're an interesting spot for sure. I mean, you could like 10 years ago, again, people were like, okay, it's time to invest into something different, you know, because the market's huge. Now the market's dwindling a little bit. So I totally get try not to be out there trying to be something, you know, different from the norm. But at the same time, you know, there's room for it, but it has to be done right. And again, a lot of this stuff is almost timing too.
And like, that's
true.
You
just don't know. Like sometimes these hits become hits and you don't expect them. You know, they just happen. And then other times, like a triple A title game. Like, I don't know. Again, we've seen so many in the last couple of years that should be like just straight up blockbuster selling games, right? And there, nobody knows about them, you know, not until like a year or two after. And why is that?
Well, I mean, there's so much noise out there right now too, right? It's hard for me to keep up with it too. Like, even
when
just AAA releases, like it's tough.
When
to
you're
keep
a gamer
up with.
And you're a PC gamer, a PlayStation gamer, an Xbox gamer, a Switch gamer, and then you have all the noise from AAA. And of course, they're probably trying to maintain the market for the most part. But then you have really good indie developers that are, you know, breaking ground. Yep. You know, just like there's a lot out there. And then you got your mainstay games that want to keep you in the games too, like right. All these subscription, you know, season pass games like Fortnite or any games like that. You know, they want to keep you in their game. Well, there's going to be less games, single player games that you play because of these multiplayer games.
With the exception of Fortnite, it's weird to think, because like I'm excluding Fortnite from this a little bit. Although I would say even with Fortnite, I think my statement would still hold true. It's really weird to think about that Microsoft is the number one live service game producer. That's really weird to think about. But they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they've got like Grounded as like a, I guess not really a live service, but like they're adding new content to it as it goes. I guess maybe they had their final update like a little while ago. I'm not sure. But then they also are like continuing to add content to things like Starfield, which is more traditional game, I guess, with expansions and stuff. But then they also own WoW. They own Diablo. They also have Sea of Thieves going, you know? Like, I mean, like, they are actually like the most successful at like keeping games running. Halo Infinite, they're continuing to add content to, you know? For better or worse, Halo Infinite is actually a live service game, you know? And yep. I think, honestly, when it came down to it, they're doing a fairly decent job with it. I think they just lost too many people with, like, the beginning portion yep. of Halo Infinite. Like, if they hadn't lost those people, I think that, like, most people would probably be pretty positive on Halo Infinite. And I am curious if Halo Infinite ever comes to PlayStation, which it might happen, it probably will at some point, maybe.
Right.
Like, I wonder if that would revitalize it a bit. I wonder if maybe that's one of the things that they're looking at in terms of, like, you know, this whole, like, releasing games, like, as, like, a third-party publisher to an extent.
Well, and I'm interested to see what they do with the whole, okay, are we maintaining Halo Infinite, you know, going forward, even up to, you know, where Halo Studios come in and do what they're going to do? Is the next game going to have the multiplayer? I mean, they probably will. You know, that's kind of like a staple. You can't release one without the other. Or are they going to break the trend?
But also, Farmer, I would have said that it's impossible to, A, ever release a Halo game without co-op, period, you know? Mm-hmm. And then B, for them to release a Halo FPS game, like a mainline Halo game, without co-op at launch. And they did both those things.
Exactly.
With both, so, like, Spartan Assault and Halo Infinite. Yeah.
So it's anybody's game at this point, you know? I want to see them continue to support Halo Infinite. And we always go back to this, and I still feel like they're wasting some of Halo Infinite. But, you know, they're moving on, so I got to move on myself. But
I don't know. Like, I could see, like, Halo Infinite launching on PlayStation, becoming revitalized, and then that's their multiplayer, like, continuing to do thing. But I could also see them going, you know what? Nah, we're switching everything over just because that engine that we worked on for way too long, like, it's just too much pressure to deal with. I could see that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's probably too tedious to work with because, you know, there's probably certain things, like, as you know, with anything
that's
computer.
That's such a cool name.
It's such a cool name. But you, when you think about, like, something that correlates and works and is compatible with everything, you want to be on that same engine to make things across the board, you know, just seamless. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles that they've had with Slipspace Engine is that, okay, yeah, they had to create it, but that means they have to maintain it and they have to create all these tools to be able to manage all of this stuff, you know, that's going on with it. If you're doing something else with that's already there for so many people, it's kind of like the whole problem I've had with my graphics card, you know, and things not being compatible. If you use the right thing, then things are easier. But if you use the thing that's not, you know, developed for as much, then it's going to be tough. And
or like last year when I was doing this super complicated setup using like multiple switchers and splitters and stuff, like, I mean, like I had to have everything plugged in just so and plugged in the right order to work. And if any of that got the slightest bit messed up, or like plugged in the wrong order, it wouldn't work. Like, I mean, like, yeah. It's a delicate system sometimes.
Yep.
But like, to see, like, you know, Microsoft kind of like taking a chainsaw to Slipspace, right? And to see like all these other developers taking a chainsaw to like their studios
they took a chainsaw 343. You know, 343 is chainsaw.
That's true. Yeah,
they're completely different now. They're a whole different studio.
I'm okay with. I'm excited for the future of Halo, but we'll see what it is.
It should have always been Halo Studios, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, but so I'm excited for this start for that. You know, I think a reset's good for them in general because it's just been. You know, they've been kind of on that downhill spiral effect, even though they've hit some good, like they've had some good stride, but they've had a lot of problems along the way that, you know, have just given them bad reputation. Even though they've done some good, really good things, there's been a lot of offset to that, you know, especially Halo 4 multiplayer wasn't as good, but the story was great. I enjoyed the campaign. Really enjoyed it. And then, you know, Halo 5, flip it. And then, you know, Halo Infinite was like, okay, make or break. And, you know, it was kind of break. So reset's going to be good for them.
Yeah. I just worry with like chainsaws, right? That, like, you know, like you were saying, like you can definitely end up like cutting off too much and there's no going back once you do. right? Like chainsaws are just that way. And so like if you tend to take a destructive tactic to restructuring, like that can be really bad, you know? And there's no undoes, you know, in that kind of like environment. Like once you destroy something, it's incredibly hard to rebuild it. I was thinking about this the other day.
You can't regrow it. But you can get new trees to continue the analogy. You can plant new trees for new growth. So that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. But that also reminds me of Resident Evil 7.
wait. Whoosh. We're wishing back.
Where, spoilers for a game that came out in, what, like 8 years ago? But, the beginning part of that game has you finding your wife like infected, and she attacks you with a chainsaw and tries to kill you, and it's like, whoa, that's not good.
Is the guy's name in that Ethan, right, or something like that?
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, that's a little okay. This is a little bit too on the point right now, on the nose.
I cried during the opening of that game because you have to essentially kill her, to keep her from like killing you, and like I actually had a dream that was somewhat similar to that too, but
that's really harsh. I mean, you think about, I mean, you do it in a game and you just go with it, but you actually think about something like that. That is intense right there.
I was shocked because like this is like a scary game. I hate scary games or whatever, and like I mean like, but like they set it up so quickly of like, hey, this is your wife. You're in love. She disappeared. You don't know what happened. Like she said she was going to like visit somebody or something. Like you got emails from her and stuff and pictures, and all of a sudden just no contact. And then you got like an email saying, help, I need you, and like gave you an address. You go there, and like she's been kidnapped and infected and trying to kill you, and you have to kill her. And it's like, whoa, this is like this is a really heavy emotional investment. Like this is like up. Kind of, you know, like the first 20 minutes.
That is true horror right there. I mean, and that's on the next level. It's not the action horror. It's like the whole emotional horror. They're already starting you on this roller coaster emotionally. I mean, that's intense.
Yeah,
that's intense.
Yeah, like I actually I cried. Like that was sad. Like having to kill her. It was like, oh my gosh, like I.
Like, and that's what? Just the first, like, what, 5-10 minutes of the game. Yeah. So yeah.
I mean,
you can only imagine
the rest of the game for different.
But
I mean, like,
but if you're that guy, like let's just say you're in that guy's shoes, you're having to deal with all this other stuff while maintaining this emotional roller coaster of having to do what you did and then having to live with all these things.
That also kind of reminds me of how Xbox kind of took a chainsaw to their strategy of like not being third party or whatever, you know, and everything, and like keeping certain games like always on their system, with Forza Horizon coming to PlayStation soon. And you're going to need a Microsoft account for that, which I think is actually kind of brilliant. But I mean, like, you
know,
like,
Microsoft account. So, I mean,
because
they're
that's
kind
where
of bridging
Xbox
the gap,
is now. Yeah. Xbox is the whole like, you know, wherever your Xbox account
is. They're taking over.
Like, yeah.
They're like AI.
Yeah. It's clever. But also, like, I mean, like, part of Xbox's new growth strategy, right? And it's really interesting to see that, because there was, as you kind of referenced earlier, like, some leaked hardware plans that came out, reported on by Jez Corden of Windows Central. Beginning with a partnered third-party handheld that's going to be Xbox branded coming out this year.
Wow. Did they know this is going to be third or fourth quarter?
It'll probably be it'll probably be holiday, I would imagine.
Yeah, that pretty much makes sense. I mean, I can't imagine anything else making sense, but...
But
you know,
then here's the question too, because they haven't announced their own Xbox gaming handheld, right? But in this article, it does mention that apparently what the understanding is that their own like first party Xbox gaming handheld and the successor to the Xbox Series X are slated for 2027. So the question is, would you get a third-party handheld that's Xbox branded when you think that potentially, because we, again, hasn't been announced yet formally, when you think that a first-party one is on the way in like 2 years?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
because me personally, I would prefer, if I had to choose right now between a third party and a first party, I'd be like first party all the way, right?
Yeah, like, I think, but then you think about, okay, that's 2 years, and then two years,
it might not even happen. You know, like there's a possibility that, like, you know, like kind of like that. Remember that Xbox like streaming box that they were gonna like put out that was gonna like plug into your TV and you could stream there, and that never came out. You know, that like like they had that working, and it just never came out. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, with it being 2 years, I mean, for testing, like let's say it's December of this year. I mean, I don't know. I probably myself would probably wait just because I already have all these devices. I've got my PC, I got my Xbox, I've got the old Xbox, you know, and I don't really need a handheld device, and I can use my phone technically too, if I ever needed it. But usually where I game, I'm here. But if I was kind of wanting to workshop it, because I guarantee you this is kind of a test.
Oh yeah.
To me, it seems like it's like a test. It's almost like all these games that have built, you know, like these test games, you know, it's like these other games that have built up to these other games that they workshop that through that game. You know, you realize when you go back to it, it's like, oh, they were just building this game and they use the assets to bring it up to this game. And
well, like,
I guarantee you that's what this
I can think of the perfect example for this too. In like, that Midnight, that Midnight Racing game that Rockstar put out, you know?
Right.
And you can like absolutely see where GTA was coming from in that, you know? Or like Red Dead Redemption 1's like online play. And you could totally see where they were going with that, with like seeing how they implemented it in both GTA Online and Red Dead Online, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they just reskinned it a little bit, but you know, the same thought process there. Yeah, and they just slowly keep improving the model, which is smart. And I think this is a good chance for them to figure out, okay, what's the handheld market going to be like? I'm interested. We've been talking about the Xbox M, you know, for a while.
Yeah. But again, so, like that Series M is like still a couple years out, it seems. And like Phil Spencer even said that recently, like that it's a few years out or whatever. Like, I mean, like that's like one of those things where it's like, oh, like, I mean, like he said, if it exists, that it would be a few years out. And that's like such a cagey thing to say, but it's.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm thinking it's going to be like a seamless system. You know, I think it's going to pop into what you got, you know, I think it's going to be a whole system in my opinion, because it's going to work flawlessly between your Xbox and then and being portable. I mean, I think it's going to be something like that.
Yeah. I'm curious if they have any kind of connection between the handheld and the next gen, like series, like whatever Series Y or whatever, you know, like whatever they decide to replace the Series X with. I'm curious if there'll be any kind of like combination between there, maybe not quite as far as like the Wii U and the handheld portion of that, but like a reason for you to get both, because that could be super interesting, super expensive, but super interesting. But I mean, like that's again, like nothing's been announced by those at all beyond the fact that we're pretty sure that they both exist. It seems like, based on, like, there's no rumors whatsoever of two SKUs of the console this time around, which kind of makes sense if they're planning on coming out with a handheld, like, in
tandem. Yeah, the handheld would take that portion, right? Take that part of it. And it would make sense. And I wonder, okay, what if this? What if they have the mainstay console, right? Your main console that you can get, you know, it's the top of the line. But it also has this feature that, you know, somehow they connect, you know? Probably just like this, you know, like a docking part of it, you know, where you just seamlessly merges. I don't know.
Or like that, a like actual like a real second screen experience kind of thing, you know, like something that actually is like dedicated to that, like can actually work that way, because it's like it recognizes what game you're playing or whatever and automatically comes like what's, I mean, there's some interesting things you could potentially do with AI with that too, you know, that could be an actually yeah. like good implementation of AI maybe. I don't know that they're that far along in like implementing AI though. From my understanding, like Ubisoft or whatever is closer, but I don't know. Like it could be interesting, but I like, oh man, like my problem is like, I kind of want this like third party branded one, but I don't know if I can justify it if I know that like first party ones are on the way, you know? Like, I mean, like,
yeah,
because it's probably going to be like $500 to $700 or whatever, you know? And then like, when those other two come out, I'm going to want both of them, you know? Like, that's just me as an Xbox gamer. I'm going to want both the next series, whatever, and the Xbox first party handheld. And yeah. Theoretically, like you said, this third party one is probably a test, A, to measure kind of like interest, you know, but B, also to like test out like a more touchscreen, like friendly kind of like mobile like UI, probably, hopefully, because like, yeah,
and working in the Windows ecosystem of the multiplayer, yeah, with all these people too, you know,
my thought that are is on consoles too, and PC. I wonder if they're going to ever like allow for like, because I know that they want to have like their streamlined OS experience like in more places, probably. Like, I think Phil said something about that, like at least with like having like an Xbox interface that's everywhere. I wonder if that would ever come to existing devices, like my ROG Ally, for instance, where like they put out like a first party, like downloadable kind of like
you download this
and it changes and just, like, yeah, yeah, it changes like your UI, because mm-hmm. I'm running Windows 11 right now on my ROG Ally, and it's like a regular, and I know there's things I can do, you know, like I know that there's like various ways to change the UI and make it more like friendly. But, like, that's all, like, third-party stuff that I haven't had the time or, like, the inclination, the motivation to get into. Like, I'm super curious if Xbox was to put out, like, this thing that they're going to use for this third-party one. Like, if they could actually, like, make it a software thing, too. Like, and test it that way. But then I guess why get the third-party one, I guess, if that's the case. Unless you want to test it there first and then, like...
I don't know. I would definitely have to. I think for me, you know, I'm right there with you on like, I really just want to get the first party title stuff. That's just because, you know, 2 years isn't necessarily that long when you know it's coming around. Plus, I mean, first and foremost, I'm probably not going to get this thing day one if I was to get the third party title anyways, you know, the third party handheld, because I'd want to see, you know, with anything, you know, if you get it new, you don't get to see the feedback. I want to see some feedback, you know, just a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
Either way, whichever way you go, you need, I mean, I'd still, I don't know. There has to be somebody, I guess, to take the plunge, but I don't know. I'm not that guy.
Here's the thing is like, I wonder if they would do this because I'm not a Windows insider. I'm an Xbox insider, right? I wonder if I was a Windows insider or if I was an Xbox PC insider or something. That, like, if they would potentially, like, push out that software to test it, like, even before this thing comes out. I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but, like, maybe. Like, I feel like that would be a good way to kind of, like, get some bugs out of the way right away, you know?
Right.
But, yeah. I don't know. Like, we definitely need something better than just running on a device, though. Because, like, as much as I love my handheld, like... If I don't have it plugged into a TV with, like, a mouse and keyboard, it's kind of a pain to navigate. And again, right. I know that there's third-party, like, ways to get around that or whatever. But like, if there was a first party solution for that, I would download that in a second, you know?
Like, right. But there does need to be something like that. I mean, they have.
And I wanted to feel like my Xbox stuff with the piece. Because the Xbox interface is great, you know? I mean, like, yeah.
And I think that's where they've kind of tried to do that on the PC without success, but they've got to get better on that side of things, because the game bar hasn't been great lately. You know, that sort of thing. It's going to be, you know, it's going to have to translate a little bit, especially on the third party device. It's you know, so hopefully within the next couple months and through the rest of this year, you know, they really start working on that, because I mean, I've been seeing more updates with it, but it's got to be, like you said, like pretty much like the first party UI that kind of like takes over and understands what it means to like touch and interface like an Xbox does in a gaming system, outside of like having the whole Windows feel. It's got to be flawless. It's got to be something that somebody, you know, would really want to use, outside of having, you know, the PC side of things. You know, like it doesn't need to be a PC, you know, but maybe that's just me. I feel like it needs to, well, when it comes down to it, it needs to feel more like the Switch does, I guess. You know, work.
Sure.
In their interface,
or even the Steam Deck when it comes down to this,
Steam Deck working inside their interface without having to feel like it's being a PC run, you know, with being a little clunky. It needs to be fluid. Yes. It needs to work.
Well, like that was like the biggest problem with, like, I think one of the bigger problems with VR, right? Is that like it wasn't necessarily nearly as intuitive as it could have been. And so like when it comes down to it, you still need some handheld holding to like kind of like acclimate. And that can be a period where it makes or breaks things for you. Or like one of the things that I remember being told about like with the VR was like every single second you wait feels like 10 times longer, because you literally can't look anywhere else. Like you're stuck in that like headset. And so, like, I mean, like, every single second feels like a minute, because, like, you've got nothing else to do. Like, you're just there. And so, like, loading screens are the worst, you know? But,
right. And almost immersion breaking at that point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, was this worth it? You know, maybe I shouldn't have done this, you know? Maybe I should have just done it the old way, because what was so bad about it? You don't want to think about those things when you get a new device, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
What you want is to be so immersed that you just like are so immersed that you just forget about everything, and that it pulls you in so much that it's just fluid. And when you don't think about something, that means it's working, right?
Right. Exactly. Yes, that's absolutely true. Like that's true in everything too, is like you really don't think about things like working when they work, you know, like you just kind of accept it, like, hey, like, you know, you don't really even appreciate that it's working while it's working. Exactly. But the second it breaks, you notice that. You notice that very, very much.
It breaks you out of the flow.
And I don't even want to get into a discussion of prices, because who knows what prices will look like over the next, like, you know, even this year, let alone like 2 years in the future. Like it could be astronomically more expensive, or it could not, you know, or I mean, like, we'll see. I'm kind of leaning towards the former, but we'll see. But I would prefer to get the Xbox first party stuff when it comes out. But like, that's like, so far in the future, that's like 2 years away, if at all. I don't even know when they're gonna, probably they would announce that next year if they were going to. Probably they would give this like room to breathe. And so I would imagine in the announcements for this, maybe at like Summer Game Fest or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but we'll see. Like, I mean, like, again, this is kind of like, this is a report, like, this guy interviewed people. This is what he was told by people. He's got sources. He's usually pretty reliable. Like, I mean, like, yeah. We'll see.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what happens this year. For sure.
Yeah. But Yeah, I think that that's probably a good place to wrap it up, unless you have anything else to talk about.
Oh, just one thing.
Sure.
We've been sitting here talking and recording, and we haven't been on the stage the whole time. So, when I think about it, we've probably been sitting in the corner. So that's just kind of funny, a little
Yeah,
funny
I mean,
note there. But besides that, yeah,
as long
I
as
think that's a
Craig can
wrap.
still hear us,
Yeah,
that's what
Craig can
matters,
still
I
hear
guess.
us. We decide not to get up on the stage
That'd be
tonight. We
really
just
funny
want
though if like Craig just wasn't listening this entire time because he's like, "Hey, you guys aren't in the center."
Yeah. You forgot
It's
where
like,
the
Craig,
mics
come
are on the
on. Like,
stage.
you need to tell us these things, Craig.
We're in the back room in the podcast room tonight, okay? No,
That's really funny.
I think that's it. I think we got it.
All right, awesome. Well, hopefully we'll be able to continue our regular episodes here on Mondays in Discord, and at least for the time being. And we'll see when we put them out online on podcast services. Don't forget to like and subscribe, or dislike and comment, as you will. Preferably the former, but hey, I get the latter. I understand. And I don't want to do the Johnny Bye thing, so I'm just gonna say, safe travels.
See y'all next time.
Get out of here, Craig.